Well, good morning to everyone. Here we stand on the beginning of a brand new year. Beautiful day outside. It's been said it's good to see everybody's face back with us this morning. I'm not going to lie, 2020 was a tough year. Your elders stood here last year talking about having 2020 vision for 2020. Little did we know, 3 months later, there'd be a worldwide pandemic. And all the plans that we had went out the window. There's an old saying that says, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And that's what happened. Who would have ever thought we'd be in the situation we are now, wearing masks, sitting here distanced apart? 2020 will go down as the year that got canceled. Look at everything that happened. Schools were closed. Businesses were closed. Graduation was canceled. Sporting events canceled. Churches canceled. Vacations that were planned canceled. Jobs were lost. And lives were lost due to the COVID. This eldership, having to follow state and health guidelines along with the CDC, we suspended Bible classes. We taped off pews. We devised new ways of getting the Lord's Supper out to everybody. We canceled our Wednesday night and our Sunday night classes. We went online. We're blessed that we had the technology already in place to do that for Sunday mornings. Wednesday nights, we had other folks that would present lessons to us on live stream. We even got innovative. We did the Del Rata drive-in. Can you imagine that? The Del Rata drive-in. For about 10 weeks, we sat in our cars in this parking lot. Now, in your wildest dreams, would you have ever thought you'd be sitting in your car in the church parking lot listening to your radio while the preacher was standing out there with you giving the sermon? Never would have thought that. And on top of that, as you left, you dropped your contribution envelope into a 30-gallon trash can. Speaking of, this is a good segue to the budget. We were $100,000 short in our giving last year. Fortunately, we were about $100,000 less spending last year. But we still prevailed. All of our programs that needed supporting were supported. All our missionaries stayed supported. And we were able to continue to do benevolence work, which increased dramatically this past year. It's been a tough year. Wear your mask, practice social distancing, stay 6 feet apart, work from home, virtual learning for your students, Zoom meetings, get to the store early to grab the toilet paper and paper towels before they all disappear. Is that what you're going to remember about 2020? But at the same time, life slowed down. We had more time with our family. We had time for Bible devotionals with our family. We ate more meals with our family because the restaurants were closed. We worked from home. We learned what was important. We became appreciative of the simpler things. All those projects that we had been putting off for a long time were finished. We learned what we could do without. We watched a lot of shows on Netflix, Hulu, and Disney Plus. I watched the Broadway musical Hamilton 3 times. Did you know there are 46 musical numbers in that production? 3 hours long. I had to turn closed caption on just to keep up with what all they were saying because I didn't keep up with it. But I'd like to draw attention to the very last song of that production this morning because it hit me. the first time, and then it hit me the second and the third. Elisa, Hamilton's wife, is reflecting on what she had done to keep her husband's legacy alive. And she says these phrases: "When my time is up, have I done enough? Will they tell your story?" You know, I got to thinking about that with me. Somewhere down the line, either you or someone else is going to tell your story. Is it going to be a good one? Is it going to include a story about 2020, about how bad it was? Or is it going to include a story about how you survived and your faith grew? I hope it's that. We learn by stories. You know that? We dream through stories. We remember through stories. The gospel of Jesus Christ and God's love for us is spread through stories. My prayer is that 2021 is better than 2020, but I also pray that we will trust in the Lord and continue to tell His story. So as we enter into 2021, I'll leave you with that same phrase from that musical. When my time is up, have I done enough? Will they tell your story? Thank you.
I'd be remiss if I didn't take this time to say thank you to the entire Delray congregation, the way you have responded to the COVID-19 time here. I'm honored to serve this congregation as an elder for 18 years now, but I have to admit, we've never faced anything like this. We've had to make some tough decisions during this time, and where there's really just no definite right or wrong answer. But whether you supported that decision or didn't agree with it, you have supported us overall. And you have no idea how the food, the calls, cards, emails, just the casual conversations we've had, the text messages to encourage us are so greatly appreciated. These have definitely been some dark days for the church here at Delrata, but with so many of us being affected by COVID one way or the other, yet through your dedication, the work of the church here has continued. We're much better off than most congregations have been during COVID. It is wonderful when we are able to gather together here for worship like today. But those of you who are unable to be here are greatly missed. Those who are watching from home this morning, it's just not right. It just won't be right until all of you are able to return for our worship services. One of my favorite Bible characters is David. I like David for the fact that he lived such an adventurous life. I like the stories about when he was a young shepherd, about how he killed a bear and a lion, and how he was appointed future king of Israel at an early age. Of course, then there's the famous story of David and Goliath. He was also an inspirational poet, musician. He became king of Israel as a mighty warrior. His adoring fans cheered that Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his tens of thousands. So many incredible mountaintop experiences that David had. He was definitely a folk hero, and Jesus would be a descendant of David. On the other hand, David had some very dark days. Due to King Saul's jealousy, he had to live a lot of his life on the run in fear of his life. Saul tried to corner him and kill him. Even though the Bible describes David as a man after God's own heart, he abused his power and acted faithlessly at times. He was guilty of hideous sexual immorality and even murder. And thanks to the fact that he repented, David is still described in Acts 13:22 as a man after God's own heart. The way I see it is, if God can forgive David, he can forgive someone who consistently falls so short, like me or anybody else. And in the middle of some of those darkest and most uncertain days, David wrote this in Psalms 30, verse 5, where he talks about the characteristics of God. "For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping but may last for the night, But joy comes in the morning. Joy can be defined as great pleasure or happiness. We can consider these tough times with COVID as nighttime. When I was a boy, my father always had three pieces of advice he regularly gave me when times were tough and life would seem so dark. First, he would always say, "Just keep pedaling." That meant that if you quit pedaling, you'll fall off the bike and you'll just not reach your goals. But if you just keep trying, keep pedaling, you will eventually reach those goals. The second piece of advice he would give was, "It won't be as long as it has been." In other words, the worst part of a tough experience was behind me, and that encouraged me to keep on trying to reach that goal. The third thing of advice he would give me was, he'd say, "This too shall pass." How many times we've lost sleep over stressful situations only to not even be able to remember why you couldn't sleep just a few weeks later. It encourages me to know that night is always followed by morning. We have had some tough times, but joy will come in the morning at Del Rayo. It doesn't mean we have to wait to experience joy during these days. Just like the verse that was read a while ago, James tells us to consider it all joy when you face various trials, because the testing of your faith will produce endurance. I don't know when morning will come, but I look forward to the day when no one has to stay away from our worship services, the day our Sunday school classes and all of our services are active, the day when we can enjoy our fellowship meals again, the day when our children can run and play with each other, the day we can throw away our mask and not worry about social distancing anymore. Sadly for us, we've lost some dear brothers and sisters that have passed away during these last several months of night. But for those faithful Christians, their final morning of joy is the beginning of spending eternity with the Lord. And remember, as the song that we sang previously, there is no night there. In conclusion, I would hope we can remember just these four things I'd like to say this morning. And that is, number one, as we face these tough times, keep on pedaling. It won't be as long as it has been. This too shall pass. And don't forget, joy comes in the morning. When morning finally gets here, it's going to be an incredibly pleasurable and happy time for the Christians at Del Rayo.
As I began to prepare for this year's message, I reflected on my thoughts that I shared with you on January the 5th of 2020, very much like Brother Bill has described. It was eye-opening to me, and it gave me some added perspective for today's message. This is how I began my thoughts from last year. Brother Bill asked us, "What are you looking for in 2020? And we thought, yes, we need to take some time in the coming days to sit down with our family and even take some quiet time personally to develop a plan for what we're looking for. Brother Steve highlighted some truly wonderful things that different members of the congregation were doing. He said, "I see Jesus in this place." Both of these thoughts shared by Bill and Steve require evaluation. Both of these require us to open our eyes and see what is going on around us. So how's your vision? Are you able to see clearly? Can you only see the things that are close to you, or are you able to see the big picture? Unfortunately, and far too often, we are guilty of getting so focused on temporary things that we become blinded to the things that really matter. We forget that this world is not our home. This is not our final destination. So we are all set for 2020 vision. There was to be a year of clarity and purpose and new beginnings. A 2020 vision. And then boom, the virus hit our nation and shook us to the very foundation. I ask that you please forgive me for a moment, but I want to get personal with you as I really and be as real as I feel like I can be. I started out 2020 at a point and I thought I was very strong. I was reading and studying my Bible every day. My prayer life was good and our home life, although chaotic at times, was wonderful. Thank God and Stephanie that our home life is still wonderful. But through the course of a crazy year and through the course of dealing with some heavy decisions and difficult situations, it scares me to admit this to you as one of your elders, but my faith has been tested, and at times I failed. I failed God, I failed the church, I failed my family, and I ask for your forgiveness. I thank God for his patience, mercy, and forgiveness. I am thankful for friends that can truly care and do more than just check on you. They'll take the time to say, let's pray together about this. Can we help you in some way? I'm thankful for a loving family that sees when I get short-tempered or impatient. They see all my warts and they still love me unconditionally. This lesson's not about me. And again, I apologize for making it too personal, but I say these things because I know that there are many out there that might feel just like me. We've been tested, and sometimes we just didn't pass the test. If you experienced something similar, maybe you're like me, we just lost sight of what really matters. We became too short-sighted when we got caught up in the cares of this world. The lockdowns, the masks, the sickness, the lack of meeting, the deaths, the lack of meeting with our brethren, the year-long elections, the riots, you could just go on and on. So I say this, so to say that last year was a tough year would be an understatement. Thank you, God, that our story does not end here. No, not at all. 2020 was filled with countless blessings, but I needed some reassurance. I know of countless good things that happened for my family, and I know that God is faithful, regardless of what our short-sightedness does to us. So I did a little impromptu survey yesterday. I did it last minute, but this was kind of on purpose. I wanted an answer that flowed freely from the heart. I asked a significant number of people, and I bet you will find many of these responses the same answers that you would give personally. The question I asked was simple. Please share with me one or two good things that happened as a result of 2020. I think this will be a wonderful exercise for all of us to do as we evaluate the positive impact of 2020 had on our lives. Here's some of the responses. We got to see the generosity of Dalrata Congregation through a series of requests that were put out all throughout the year to help our fellow brethren and to help the children's home and to help those in need across the world. Every single time we asked, Dalrata families delivered abundantly. Thank you for that. This next one was the most common one. We spent more quality time with our family. Life slowed down, and that was wonderful. Others said it caused us to refocus on the important things. Another said it made us realize that the church exists outside of this building. We have gained a much greater appreciation for healthcare providers. They deserve our unwavering gratitude. We have become better at one-on-one relationships. We feel like our prayer life has become more intentional and therefore better. We've seen that God is steadfast with his love and mercy and blessings. We also enjoy continuing a Bible study with our families, with other families, and we were able to grow closer in a smaller setting. We realized how some of the things we thought were important, they just weren't. We enjoyed visiting other congregations in the area, and we made new friends through this opportunity. One family said, our family word for 2020 was action, and we took all kinds of action in 2020. Which truly made it a successful year for us in so many ways. Our son obeying the gospel was the greatest blessing of this year. We gained a deeper and better prayer life. We worshiped and studied as a family. We weren't separated in different Bible classes, which gave us a different perspective while studying the Bible together. Our business grew. One person landed his first full-time job and made the statement, now I can finally give to God like I've never been able to do in the past. A surgery for a parent went well. Just a greater appreciation of family and friends. The blessing of singing together. A greater focus on personal Bible study was born. Someone discovered the wonderful therapeutic work of woodworking. Another said, it just got us out of a rut of our church routine, meaning we came to grips with the fact that church is far more than just Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening. We've enjoyed family times of worship. It made us realize the importance of the benefits of meeting together and also made us long for fellowship with our church family. We took the time to focus on the widows and widowers and given more to them to encourage them. It made us realize the need and the blessing of giving more in order to help those who are suffering. Someone else said our family time was well spent and more meaningful. This was the first truly relaxing spring in many years. It allowed us to focus our time on God for family and really made us understand why God established a church and why it is important for us to be together as much as possible. We gained a longing to actually see faces again. We don't care if they're smiling or frowning, we just want to see faces. Another said it gave us a greater evidence that tomorrow is not promised. A reminder that this world is not our home. It reminded us that we are not in control. We learned the value of a hug. It revealed the things that are most important, that are most precious to us. Our eyes were opened. See, Dean, there are a lot of good things that came out of 2020. Sometimes we just need to open our eyes and see them. We need to open the eyes of our heart. The first part of Ephesians 1:18 says, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. Think about the account of the two disciples in Luke 24 as they were on the road to Emmaus. This was directly after Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised. Now these are the two men that had been, they had been with Jesus. They knew him. Now they've left Jerusalem and they have left the other disciples. And the indication here is they're bewildered and questioning everything that's happened. Maybe they're leaving Jerusalem and going back to whatever they had known before following Jesus. Luke 24, let's pick up in verse 13. That very day, two of them go into a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Jesus was right there with them, but they couldn't see him. I can relate to these men as they were blinded by all the negative things that has transpired. They could not see past the things that had transpired. Their idea of Jesus as Savior and Redeemer was ruined. And how could it not be? They had seen him beaten and crucified and buried. It was over. They had lost heart. So Jesus, unknowingly to them, walks along with them and opens the scriptures to them and reminds them of all that he had told them that must happen to him in order to fulfill the scriptures. Finally, Jesus sits down to have a meal with them. And when he breaks bread, their eyes are opened and they see him and he immediately disappears. These men had lost heart because their idea of Jesus was shattered. They had lost sight of Jesus. They had lost sight of their mission that Jesus had given them. But Jesus met them and restored them. You know, Jesus will do the same for us if we allow him through his word, and through prayer, and through the encouragement of faithful brothers and sisters. Let's read together 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 through 18 as I close. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. They're temporary. but the things that are unseen are eternal. Let's pray together as we close. God, our Father, increase our faith. Father, forgive us when we fail you and pick us back up and set us back on the right path. Dear God, let us look to the unseen ways of you and learn. God, build our faith by allowing us to see your hand in our lives. Let us see you in great and small ways in the coming year. God, open our eyes to see that those that are hurting around us. Open our eyes to see those in need. And God, help us to focus on what truly matters in this coming year. In Jesus' name.
For my part, I have to admit it's kind of hard for me to sing when we get together like this because the singing sounds so great that I find myself choking up and becoming tearful. Truly, it is a tremendous blessing for us to be able to come back together. And we really appreciate the college students coming. We have one that is not an ordinary bear, let me tell you that. Brother Cagle, if you can do your own bow tie and tie it, I commend you. I did that a couple of generations ago, so that's very commendable. And I've noticed that we have classic masks now. There's custom masks. A whole new industry has sprung up. And now the girls look at the guys and say, look at that nice mask this fella has. Or the guy looks at the girl and says, boy, that's a good-looking girl. Look at this mask. So I don't know about the lipstick people. They may be having a hard time, but the mask is going good. When Paul and Barnabas had gone through the regions of Pisidia and established congregations, they came back a short time later to encourage the people. And as they did that, it tells us that they went through the regions of Derbe and so on, and they preached the gospel, and they went strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Tribulation is a stern word, harsh-sounding word to me. It makes me sort of shiver just to say it, because I don't think you and I know much about tribulation, frankly. I think it's a noun, and that's about all we really know about it, because we've never had to worry about it in our country. However, as you noticed this morning, we do have trials. And I remember, Bill, just because you saw one, I saw one too, but it's been a long time back since it came out. And it was The Music Man. You remember The Music Man? I know all the older people do. If you young people have not seen The Music Man, do yourself a favor and look at it. It's good, better than anything they're putting out today. And by the way, Opie was in that before he was Opie. So it was a couple of generations ago, I guess 1957, somewhere along there. But it's worth looking at. Now, I always remember 76 trombones, but what I really remember is, I tell you folks, we got trouble right here in River City with a capital T and it rhymes with P, and that stands for pandemic. Pandemic that has turned us into pajama worshipers. And we don't like that. You see, we like to be here like we're talking about today. And not only has it brought that, it's brought a lot of other things. It's brought protests, so-called protests that turned into the riots. We all know about that. It's brought us a new wave of political correctness as if we needed any more. Mind you, when a member of Congress ends a prayer by saying, amen and a woman, you know, we've come a long ways from Mayberry and Barney Fife, right? But as you noticed, we're still here. And the elders are doing the best we can sometimes under difficult circumstances. And it probably will not surprise you to learn that we're not any smarter than anybody else. And we have to make decisions sometime that we don't know if they're right or not. And I've thought a few times I'd like to be like the old priest of ancient Israel. I had that Urim and the Thummim here in the little pouch. And when an issue came up, God would let them reach in there and pull out one, and that would be the decision they'd make. We don't have that. So we just make decisions. Although our revenues are down, as you learn, our mission works are still where they should be. And despite our troubles today, you and I, we leave this place in a nice automobile. We'll go home to a well-heated home. We'll have a substantial meal. We may not go out to Soul's Mexican restaurant, but we'll have a good meal. Pick it up at McDonald's or whatever. So things are going well, and we've enjoyed a lot of things, but I can't help but think of the people in India and East Africa. You know what, Mark? Do you know that in East Africa they're having now a capital T of trouble that rhymes with P, and that's a plague. It's a locust plague. Started in 2019, continued another wave of it in 2020, and they're expecting an even worse wave of locust infestation in East Africa this year. Now, read about it, because you're not talking about just a little small thing. There are several countries involved in this: Ethiopia, Somalia, Yemen, Sudan, and Kenya. Need I remind you of where Kenya is? It's north of Tanzania. And what is Tanzania? That's where our work at Chamala is. We're hoping that this is spared, because these locusts are devastating the land, and will do trillions. It's kind of hard to imagine a billion locusts, but perhaps even trillions this year. So we're doing pretty well, aren't we, under the circumstances, when you think about it. Let's remember those that are in those circumstances. And if we read in Romans chapter 13, where Paul is writing, and he said, "Besides this, you know the time. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed." I want to close on that thought with you. Salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. Yeah, we got older. In fact, the world's older than it's ever been before. And even if you're young, you're older than you've ever been before. Salvation is nearer to us, either the end of our lives or the return of Jesus, whichever way that happens. In this particular time, I've spoken to people as you have out in the marketplaces and other places, and I've heard a theme a couple of times. Well, this is the end times. And you know, it is the end times, not the way they mean it. They're talking about Jesus coming back and setting up a kingdom on earth. But you see, you and I are the kingdom on earth. It's already here. And I can't help but wonder how many people are going to be really, really surprised when Jesus comes back and he doesn't go to Jerusalem and set up that kingdom of his and reign 1,000 years. They're going to be really surprised. But you are the kingdom of God. We are. This church is the kingdom of God. And so we're near to salvation than we've ever been before. Let us think of that. And if you're watching today and you need to make your life right, or if anyone here needs to make your life right, then you'll have that opportunity shortly. Don't worry about touching the TV screen. If you're home and you need to talk with us, let us know. We'd be glad to do that. If you're here, your life is not right, then you can't say you're nearer to salvation than you've ever been before, because you're not. So you need to make your life right today. I want to close with this idea, because we're all one day closer. Time is a river rolling to the sea of eternity. Treading its current each day brings me closer to that boundless deep. One day closer to the swelling tide and the glory land where my Lord abides. When the sun sets and daylight is gone, I am one day closer to my soul's true home. Time is a thief which snatches youth away, stealing our strength with each passing day. You know, tomorrow's once thought far out of sight turned to yesterday's in flight. one day closer to infinity, where our eyes, now void of sight, will forever see. With the breaking of another dawn, I am one day closer to my soul's true home. Time does not slumber. It does not rest. It does not wait for misfortunes or times of happiness. But you and I arise with courage renewed when each day comes into view. One day closer to that joyful morn, as I look behind, how the years have flown. When the sun sets and daylight is gone, I'm one day closer to my soul's true home. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come now as we stand and sing this song.